Blog Talk Radio.
Communication frequencies are now open.
You're in the night zone with the Calling Knights.
You are listening to Terror Chat, the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. This is a live event.
Please don't say it.
Everybody, welcome to the Night Zone. I am Colin Knight. I will be your host for the next 1 hour. This is a live event tab. We got a good show for you. Tonight we have a very interesting individual from petroglyphsinthesky.com. Yeah, petroglyphs in the sky. If you can spell it, you can find it. petroglyphsinthesky.com coming up next on the Night Zone.
On the 13th of March,
weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix region, and no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, all information provided in the Terror Chat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although Terror Chat takes all precautions to provide quality information, Terror Chat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing there but blackness and these three amber orbs.
On March the 13th, 1997, compelling accounts of various lights moving over the state of Arizona. These lights, are now referred to as the Phoenix Lights, were actually witnessed in at least five other cities. What were these lights? Was it an alien contact? In the Night Zone, we continue to explore the unknown, the paranormal, the darkness of night, and all facets of this diamond called terra firma. Tonight, we explore the Phoenix Lights in the sky with Jeff Woolwine from petroglyphsinthesky.com. Check our sites for the link.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls. It's good to be here tonight. Welcome to another edition of the Night Zone with yours truly, Colin Knight. With me tonight, in the darkness of the Night Zone, is Jeff Woolwine from petroglyphsinthesky.com. Jeff, welcome to the Night Zone, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be on your show. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I tell you, Jeff, after my crack team of researchers raked over your site, petroglyphsinthesky.com, and we'll get to the spelling of that in a few minutes, they came up with dozens or so directions that I could take this chat tonight. I got to tell you, you got a lot happening on your site.
That's true. There is a lot happening here in the skies of Phoenix, Arizona. I started off on this about 4 years ago, and through the investigation, I've come to find out that the ancient people from long ago, the Ho'okam, meaning the people who are gone now, actually had sightings of their own, and they carved their sightings on the rocks on the mountains here in the Valley of the Sun.
Okay, and that gives you the petroglyphs portion of your site. But before we get right into the ancient portions of Phoenix and the likes, let's invite our listeners to go to your site so they can kind of get a good look-see of where we're at and where we're going. So we're going to make an attempt at this to see if we can get our audience in the right direction. So
okay.
You're looking for, obviously, www, and it's petroglyphsinthesky, that's one word, .com. So they get a sense of where we're heading, I hope. And I also believe you're on YouTube, Jeff, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. You can find me, if you just search my name, or if you search petroglyphs in the sky, you can come up with my blog there.
I'm getting a message off our Skype board, and it says, okay, how do you spell petrol what? So here we go. For those people that are alphabetically inclined or challenged, if you have a pen there, which I know most of you do, get ready for this. All of you ex-military, follow me now. Papa Echo Tango, Roger Oscar Golf, Lima Yankee Papa Hotel Sierra in the sky, one word, .com. How's that, huh? And it took me a while to write that out, so I can't.
Yeah.
I wish I could say it right from my mind. But this is my crack team of researchers that spend 2 days coming up with this for me. So Jeff, the Phoenix Light occurrence on March 13th, 1997, although it was seen by thousands of people in Arizona, and it happened 11 years ago, it seems to be just coming back to prominence. There seems to be another look, if you will, at what happened in Phoenix. Are you sensing that locally?
Yeah, that's correct. The Phoenix Lights has been seen for years, and the mountains around the Valley of the Sun has literally been a chalkboard of sightings for thousands of years. The Phoenix Lights wasn't just March 19th, 1997 wasn't just one event. There were many events going on within that time period, and it just so happens that they did that grand display, and that's when everybody took notice to them. I had my own experience with the lights in 2004. All summer of the year 2004, I watched these lights doing major neat formations over a city power plant, and I thought that was very interesting.
Okay, over a city power plant. Now, funny you should mention that, because I had a chat with one of my writer buddies recently, who was very concerned at some of the information they had received regarding UFO and power plants and orbs and the like. So that's going to be interesting to follow into the future, because there's something there. Whatever it is,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure, Jeff.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, I kind of was digging deep into that. Now, when you ask the Native Americans here, they portray or they claim to say that these spirits live within the earth. They live within the mountains. I have personally witnessed this. I have personally seen these entities, if you will, coming and going from the mountains of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the natives say that they live in the mountains, and if that's true, then why? Why are they attracted to mountains? Well, in the scientific view, these mountains, most of the mountains here in Phoenix, Arizona, were made by fault lines, and fault lines produce energy. Now, it's my opinion, in watching these things hanging over the power plant in Phoenix, Arizona, that these things were drawn energy from this power plant that was borrowed down into a fault line on the east side of South Mountain. And
wow.
I believe that they're absorbing this energy to break down this type of particle to turn it into a type of phoenix, a fusion effect. They kind of harness this energy. When you look at these huge spheres of amber lights, sometimes there's steam coming off of them. These things is clearly, in my opinion, is absorbing the energy, and it has everything to do with the fault lines.
So it is literally deriving its existence deriving its existence from the energy that's being created artificially, much like a baby suckling on a mother?
Well, yeah, that's correct. And these things, it seems these entities seem to like to follow the pattern of the seasons. They track the sun. In certain times of the seasons, during the equinox and the solstice, is the time to see them. For example, the best time to see them down here is January through August. Now, right around that solstice that we have, they'll be gone for about a week or so. After that solstice, within a week's time, they'll start to come back. During the middle, between the solstice and the equinox, that middle month, that can't remember what it is right now, but that is the best time to see them. That's when those things are here. And it's occurring on a yearly basis here. These things, as the years progress, more and more is coming. What I've come to find out watching these things for a number of years, more is coming. It's like a little mini invasion, if you will, that's going on here in the city of Phoenix.
Okay. Do you think that this could have anything to do with the cataclysmic events of 2012? Terra Chat has been investigating the Planet X and the Anunnaki in 2012, and it seems that there seems to be a focusing of all of these dark forces.
That is correct. That's correct. I think it has everything to do with the coming years of 2012. In studying these things and watching them coming and going from the mountain for at least 3 years now, more is coming. And the only logical explanation that I can come up with, that I can, you know, foresee happening, is this 2012. Now, the Mayans say that it's the return to Quetzalcoatl, and it's supposed to be this flying serpent god. Well, I've seen many of these flying serpents coming and going from South Mountain, and it's on my website there, petroglyphsinthesky.com. It's also on YouTube there. And these things are real. There is something going on the mountains in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's just unfortunate that the people aren't aware of this. And I think 2012...
Let me take you on a journey to Phoenix, Arizona. UFOs are among us. South Mountain, where the petroglyphs show evidence that the Indians knew all about this. March 13, 1997, the UFOs showed their presence. The Phoenix Lights, and it was seen by masses. Still people hating, still people doubting. Now we got rumors of a UFO base under the cliffs. You can see snakes devour the heads of mankind. Petroglyphs in the sky, watch some UFOs fly by. We in the southwest Arizona, Sonoran Desert, UFOs are among us. Petroglyphs in the sky.
We'll be right back with Jeff Woolwine and PetroglyphsInTheSky.com right after this. Marshall Masters on Terror Chat.
This is going to be a catastrophic event, and everyone's going to be upset and dealing with it, and people are going to cry, and they're going to have a difficult time. And children are going to cry, and they're going to have a difficult time. That's a given. The lost tears are when the adults that are the bedrock, the foundation, and the guiding posts of these children's lives start acting insane and stupidly and don't have any idea other than to lay down and die, or worse. And when the children see that, they know that they will be truly lost, and then they will cry the lost tears. And so all that I do is to prevent one lost tear. If I can prevent one lost tear, then I'm happy. And if I can do that, well, then one is never enough. Always remember Marshall's motto, okay? Destiny comes to those who listen, and fate finds the rest. So learn what you can learn, do what you can do, and never give up hope.
Marshall Masters in the Night Zone. What a fantastic guest, Marshall Masters. Check it out on the archives. We're back with Jeff Woolwine from PetroglyphsInTheSky.com. And my sincere apologies, Jeff. The system triggered about 10 seconds early and kind of drowned out that last
10 seconds of your conversation. My sincere apologies, sir. As we were heading into the discussion, we were moving into the direction that there are lights and objects and things flying around the mountain system around your area. Now, can you tell me a little bit more about this? What do you think they are? Is this a portal? Could we be dealing with different dimensions, or are they in physical form?
You know, going into this, in watching the lights in 2004, I walked into this thinking spacecraft, beings from another world, technology. I came out of this going, holy cow, this is something completely different, something that hasn't been told in a very, very long time, because it hasn't been seen in a very, very long time. Walking into this, doing the history and the study on Phoenix, come to find out that these Ho'okam, meaning the people who are missing, they dealt with these Phoenix lights also. Not only was the Ho'okam here, but the Mayans and the Aztec was here also. I have come to find out during my investigations on the mountain that these petroglyphs are showing not only what we find depicting giants, but we're also finding altars that were apparently used for sacrifice. So in digging real deep into this, I had to go back 80 years to find this story. This story isn't told by the city archaeologist. You know, when you talk to this guy and you read his books, he doesn't tell you anything about the altars that are out there or anything to do with what the Indians have to say about what these petroglyphs is. I had to dig this up 80 years in the Phoenix Library. And what this says is this was a mighty city of gold. There were 7 cities of gold here in Phoenix, Arizona. And the city, or the place, was called the City of Chibola, the 7 cities of gold. And like I said, the Mayans were here also. They brought some, they had sacrifice, and they actually worshipped these Phoenix lights, not only the lights, but the creatures in themselves. In studying this and watching this mountain from one tip to the other, I can tell you that each passageway, each crack, if you will, because let me go back a little bit further. The Indians say that these spirals represent doorways into the underworld. Some spirals represent doorways, that which you can clearly tell because you see a guy going into a spiral, and there's no weathering on the rock. But some of these spirals do represent natural water springs, and you can tell with the weathering on the rock that this type of rock, you know, produces water. But this other rock over here with this spiral and the guy going into it, now that doesn't represent water. That represents a portal or a vortex, if you will.
An entry of some kind to somewhere else.
Right.
The Mayans seem to get into quite a bit of bloodletting. And once again, one of my compadres is probably going to contact you regarding a story they are writing that is just fascinating, that ties all of this in together, Jeff, regarding the things. So these Phoenix lights, you say they were just performing extraordinarily for whatever reason, because they've always done that in the area, or because it's not such a paranormal event?
Well, let me keep going with this. Apparently, when these things were here, this has been recorded at least 3 times over here on the mountain of man interacting with these lights, interacting with these entities, these creatures that are coming and going from the mountain out here. And each time man was deceived and fell short and came up missing. And this is the reason why, to this day, we don't know where these people went. The archaeologist wants us to tell us, well, we think these people moved out because it was drought. It was too hot. Well, if that's the case, then we'd be able to find where they moved to. But yet what we find up here on the mountain is they left all their belongings. Now, when we move, we take stuff with us when we leave. These people didn't. These people left everything here and just came up gone. Okay, they vanished from the earth. Now, when you ask the Indians, they tell you that the devil came from the east and took these people away. Matter of fact, these petroglyphs show some of these strange formations I've been filming out here on the mountains actually picking these people up by their head. You see,
well, I've looked at some of the petroglyphs that are on your site, and I must admit, they fascinate me. It's almost looking at a Rorschach test sometimes, because at times I can see exactly what they're depicting, and other times I kind of have to be a little imaginative to see what it's about. But I have to say this, not only are they there, not only are they in South America, in Egypt, and in Russia, and throughout the Balkans, they are all over the world in one form or another, and these petroglyphs all seem to depict a same focus point of future, not past. They never show past. They always seem to show future.
Right.
And that always includes technology.
You know, these petroglyphs not only hold the past, but our future also. In studying this, like I said, I walked into this going in thinking spacecraft and technology,
right.
But when I came out of this, I come to find out that these cracks on the side of the mountain with these petroglyphs and vortex and little strange creatures and stuff is in fact letting us know that it's a doorway for each creature, if you will. When you look on my website and some of my YouTube videos, you can see that these things are shape-shifting. And that's the way the Indians talk about their spirits. They shift shape, you know?
Shape-shift.
Yes, and then sometimes they shift shape into the likes of humans. Now, when you ask the Indians, they say, well, when the Ho'okam first got here, that the lizard people lived in these rocks. They lived in the mountain. And apparently they didn't know how to live here, so the lizard people came up out of the sand world and taught the people how to live. They went back down into the sand world and promised to return someday. And I think 2012 has a lot to do with it.
For those out there that are trying to race to their computers to find out who the Ho'okam are all about, they lived for over 1,000 years in southern Arizona, long before Cortes destroyed the Aztecs in Mexico or Pizarro toppled the Incas in South America. Even before the pilgrims landed in North America, the Ho'okams lived in harmony with the harshest of desert, creating hundreds of miles of deep, wide irrigation canals, and apparently they're still in use today.
Yes, that's correct. They had the best irrigation canal system at that time in the whole world. So, and it all was leading up to these mountains here. In studying these petroglyphs, it's like I see petroglyphs in the shape of man, you know, a man, excuse me, looking at things clearly that he's seeing in the sky. But most of it seems to be like man is insignificant to what the mountain is really all about. And when you read the story, when you found the story that I found that was buried in the Phoenix Library for the last 80 years, it talks about how this gold, there's tombs up here. Now, I found 7 of these tombs, and it's too bad that we can't go in there and start digging it up and finding this stuff, but the government did mark one tomb, and I'm right in the middle of writing a book, and it should come out hopefully by the end of this year. And it's going to talk about on where these tombs are, exactly where they're at, and if you're inclined to check it out, be my guest. I would love for someone to go out there and take a look at these tombs and have a look at it, because this, in my opinion, is the forgotten real history of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, it says that this gold, these Phoenix lights and these creatures flying around the Phoenix skies is, in fact, protecting the gold. They're protecting the gold for the Mayans to return and claim it in 2012.
But why would gold be such of high value?
This is my opinion.
Yeah.
This is what I think. I think when you ask the Indians, well, how did they meet? Well, we needed them. I think we're gonna need them again in the near future. it's my opinion in studying all this stuff and really studying the past and studying the future, I think one day man will come back to these mountains looking for help and guidance as it was in the time of the beginning, so shall it be in the time of the end. And I believe this is what's going to happen. I believe we're going to go back, and mankind will need these supernatural beings to survive. I believe that there will not be any food or water, and I think the world will be in total chaos. And that's when these things will come down and make contact with man and say, I'm God, here I am. Look, I can shape-shift, and I can turn into a man, and I can do all this stuff. Your president can't do this, but I can. Follow me. I can take you out of this. And this will lead mankind to their destruction one more time like it was in the beginning until the real, I guess, the real good guys, you know, because these, what we're dealing with out here, in my opinion, these are the bad ones here. These are what some might claim in some biblical text scrolls is the fallen ones, the fallen angels, the Nephilim, if you'd like to talk about it that way. So I believe that they're going to try to repopulate the planet and try to do what they tried to do before, and that's when the real aliens, the real good guys, will come back down and put them back into the mountain like history has shown it on the petroglyphs they've done before, and that's when, you know, things will go back into that 1,000 years peace.
So are you a follower or a reader of such things as the Anunnaki?
Yes, yes, I follow their work, and I've read a lot of ancient scrolls. India, I find, is very fascinating. They talk of the Vyamatis. Now, this is very interesting because these Vyamatis had these four arms. Now, this is some of the creatures that I'm finding out here. They have four arms. Now, the Vyamatis, the India tradition, says that they not only buried the gold and their sacrifice in these tombs, but they also buried these special type of weapon staffs, okay, that was supposed to be used by these creatures in some kind of war, if you will. There is petroglyphs on this mountain showing a guy shooting a bow and arrow at something in the sky. So
speaking of shooting a bow and arrow, Jeff, I have a producer, Hans, who is looking down at me from the control center, and if looks would kill, I think he would have burnt out a couple of light bulbs on my dash here. We're going to be right back. Hang in there.
Weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix, and no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
There's a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. Gets a lot of people wondering, what the heck?
After 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with 3 to 1,000 of people
saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
The people who saw the lights will say the lights were orange, they were bright, and they were big, and they were like nothing they've ever seen before. And there's been no official explanation.
This didn't look like anything I've ever seen in my life.
The bigger question is not, is there a phenomenon? What is this?
This is Terror Chat. We are in the night zone. Call it all night.
We all have busy lives and can't always get to the computer at a set time, date, place, and event. So what do? Well, blogtalkradio.com have come up with the idea. Using your RSS feed, all the archives that Blog Talk Radio provides, you can listen to your favorite show anytime you wish. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, go to your favorite show page, hopefully it's Terror Chat, and download the archive, choose the show that you want to listen to, or tune in to the RSS feed and listen to us live. You'll be glad you did. And you will be glad you did. This is Terror Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box. My name is Colin Knight, and you are in the Night Zone. You're in the Night Zone with Jeff Woolwine from PetrolGlipsInTheSky.com. Now, we're talking about nasty little creatures and all kinds of horrible little things that are making the hairs on my arms stand up, but we're going to go ahead with this, Jeff, because you know what? At the very, very worst, I can jump to a commercial if you scare the hell out of me.
So, okay.
But from what I am understanding from many of my guests is that either Planet X, the Anunnaki, or 2012 cataclysmic events, everything seems to be coming into one focus. Even
yeah,
so with what's happening in Phoenix and especially with what you are saying with the petroglyphs, how they depict what is to come, and it seems to be bang spot on historically. Now, you mentioned somewhere in your conversation, you mentioned flying serpents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are they dragons, or are they defying gravity, as if they were swimming in water?
Holy cow! Oh my! when you go ahead and take a look at some of those videos I've got up on my website and YouTube, there, these things, they're alive. It's really hard to explain it. They're like I believe that this is where some of the myths of dragons come into play, because this thing was clearly like in a dragon form. It was clearly a snake. When you watch it, as he ascended from the mountain, as he left the mountain that way, he kind of started to walk. He literally was walking in the sky like that. Now, this is where it gets freaky. Okay, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. When you go up there and you acknowledge these things, if you go, this is what happened. I went up there and I was investigating the petroglyphs, and I was, taking back, taking a break next to one. And I said, hey, you guys are cool. Why don't you guys come and see us? Well, 3 weeks later, right before I took my son to school, I looked out my window, and sure enough, one left the mountain in the exact same spot that I was talking to this thing at. Now, it just so happens this is a huge crack formation. When you look at my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, it goes into a little bit more detail, and it shows you the crack that this thing came from. From the left side of this crack, this whole crack from top to bottom is a huge door. Okay, there's about, I counted about six spirals, six doorways, if you will, in this huge crack. Off to the left of it, from about maybe 20 to 25 feet away from that, I found a petroglyph of two guys looking up at a snake in the sky. Now, this is kind of weird. So this thing left the mountain right there at that spot where I talked to this thing 3 weeks ago. He was going west. By the next thing I know, he was coming towards us. He came right over to the apartment complex. Before I know it, he was right above the windowsill there, and I was filming him. My son had to go to school, so I jumped off the camera and I got him ready to school, and we met this thing out in the parking lot. It waited for us as it was up in the parking lot. Now, it must have been only about 500 to 600 feet up. I mean, it wasn't that high.
So in your mind, it had intelligent thinking.
Clearly, yes, yes. When we went out to the parking lot and looked up at this thing, I asked my son, I said, do you see it? He's like, oh, yeah, there it is. And he's like, okay, I got to go. So he goes off to the bus stop. Now, when you look at this thing and study it, its head looks at my son and then looks at me and then turns around and looks back at my son and turns around and looks back at me. Now, on the video, if you listen, in the background, you hear airplane noise. There's two airplanes that are coming in. Little white airplanes, and they're on both sides of this thing. Now, I don't film it because I wanted to film this thing, but there are two airplanes. Now, it's just so funny because this thing was up there and it wasn't moving. I mean, it was transforming, it was changing different shapes, it was doing neat things, but it was staying motionless until those airplanes started to head towards it. As soon as those airplanes started to head towards it, that's when it started to move. It didn't want to be around those airplanes at all. Matter of fact,
what did you do?
Well, we watched it go all the way over to another mountain. What it did, it left South Mountain, and it went into another mountain called Paiwassewa Peak out here, another huge mountain with a big crack in it, the same exact type of crack that's on South Mountain.
Okay. All right. Now you have got me just twitching. So this is where, as the host of the show, I get to say, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Holly from Endless Journey and the Night Zone. Find out about the abduction of two people in New York who are simply trying to drive home, or the alien bloodletting rituals of the Mayans. Find out what happened to investigators on the infamous Mount Misery Road, or their encounter at the deserted Kings Park Mental Institution. Decide if the reptile hiding in the teenager's room was from this world or beyond. Watch for the ghostly experience of the New York City policeman. And then tune in to Terror Chat The Night Zone, hosted by Colin Knight on Blog Talk Radio. Watch and listen as Colin interviews those who live the stories we write about, plus many other great guests. Visit Endless Journey The Night Zone and listen to our show while browsing our articles. Just Google Chris Holly Endless Journey or Blog Talks Terror Chats The Night Zone. See you there if you dare.
You're in the Night Zone with the Calling Knights.
Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments where you know something like that? Have you ever had those times where you think you see a flash of a person or a shadow? We delve into the inner sanctum of paranormal activities. Paranormal at its best, with some of the brightest and the best investigators in North America. Come with us on a journey, possibly an enlightenment.
Coming soon, watch for the listings.
In the Night Zone, we'd like to know what you think, so we open the phone lines each live session, and tonight is no different.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you are a registered listener, you can come to our virtual studio by clicking the chat button on the Terror Chat Blog Talk page, and just click on the Talk to Host button.
347-324-3287. Call in now. 347-324-3287. You're in the Night Zone with the Calling Knight. All background music and bumps heard on TerrorChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
You are listening to TerrorChat
on BlogTalkRadio.com. Things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments? Paranormal at its best. Come with us on a journey.
Coming soon. Watch for the listings. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Or in the Night Zone. Your host, Colin Knight.
And you are indeed in the Night Zone tonight. Welcome back. We have with us tonight Jeff Woolwine from PetroglyphsInTheSky.com. Jeff, you're scaring the bejeebus out of me thinking that these apparitions or whatever they are of the dark side as far as power is concerned. Now, I have not seen the videos, but kind of give me a view in your mind's eye. What did this head of this serpent look like? Did it look exactly like a serpent, or were there intelligent features?
Well, this thing was kind of red and black, and I'd have to say that it looked kind of more like a tadpole, and the tip of the tadpole head, or I guess you could say, is their face. I've seen these things many a times, and their face is like black, Okay, it's like they don't have, at least as far as I could tell, that maybe they're just so high up, but I haven't come pretty close to the window, but I haven't seen any faces on them. The only thing I really do see is like maybe a black, it looks like a triangle, and that could be possibly their face. That seems to be what kind of stares at you. You know, like that little black triangle seems to be the one that changes when it seems to be paying attention to something.
Right. And for our audience out there, Jeff's links can be found on alienseekernews.com. So if you're having trouble typing out petroglyphsinthesky.com, just go to alienseekernews.com, and there will be a link there for Jeff's web pages. And Jeff, I hope we don't crash your web page tonight. This show is archived, so the public access through Google. You have to be prepared for some pretty strange traffic patterns. We are repeating on three continents that I know of, multiple time zones. So the traffic pattern does, in fact, look a little erratic and a little strange. But rest assured, they are listening out there, and you have them fascinated. I'm getting some ping requests out of Skype to know more of this this Mayan gold legend, and why they would be protecting this gold. What value does it have other than the financial value that we know of?
Well, there is so much, you know, that there. This is the reason why I'm writing a book. I mean, because there is so much that just an hour. This isn't enough time to go over it all. What I can tell you in brief is, in studying the petroglyphs out here, we're dealing with many different types of life forms, many different types of beings out here, if you will.
Okay.
I believe in studying the rock art, like I said, these things went to war with the humans, but another, it looks like the petroglyphs depict another race of entities seem to be on the human side. Now, going back to the story with the Via Mahdi's and on how their story says not only did they bury the gold, but they buried the staves, the weapon staves. Now, this is very interesting because this goes into the petroglyphs that I find out here. And on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, there's a picture where it shows a guy with four arms and he's got this staff, okay, and he's shooting, depicting him shooting at what looks like a humanoid in the sky.
And he has four arms.
That's correct. This stick figure creature, tube-looking creature with four arms, had some kind of weapon staff, and he was shooting at this feathered god, if you will, at this serpent that was seen in the sky. So I think there's good ones here, and I think there's bad ones here. And I'm kind of going inclined to think that these white ones, these white little orbs that we see out here, could very well be the good ones. Now, I've seen this one huge, big, black serpent snake come out of the sky or out of the mountain there. And this white ball, white entity, white-looking sphere zoomed over his head. Later on in that sighting, the white orb was motionless, was staying up in the sky as this black serpent went up to him and then made a sharp right to him, and then he went back into formation. Next thing we know, we had a line of formations. We had a black snake on the bottom, we had a white orb, we had another white orb, and I think another black snake was up above him. Now, this was serious. There was five entities that left that mountain that day. It was like the mountain exploded all of a sudden. It's very...
And do you believe that the mountain is therefore a portal, a doorway, a gateway to, as you say, the underworld?
Yes.
Is that?
It's for supernatural entities. Yes. You know, my personal belief on this is this is the fallen angels. These are the guys that were cast down into the mountains. These things have never left. You know, going into this, I was thinking outer space. And going out of this is clearly inner space. When I was doing, I did a news article with the city archaeologist here in Phoenix, and at that time, I was kind of arguing with the guy because I was still thinking outer space, but he was saying inner space, inner space, inner space. Until a few weeks later, I understood what he was talking about. Yes, you know, these things do. They go into the ground and they go into the rocks, and I've seen them come out of trees, and I've seen a lot of things that the humans, that people aren't really ready for this. And I just think that this could be one of the reasons why the government isn't talking about this. I think that if this was some green guy with technology spaceship from another planet, that the public would be able to concept, would be able to agree, be able to understand this more if it was technology. But what we're dealing with is something that has been here long before we have and has always been here. You see, this
well,
is the type of...
Much of the native culture does talk about items and things having what they call a manitou, which is a spirit or an embodiment.
That's why
they bless and honor all gifts and creations,
that's
if you will. Because
right.
So
yeah.
I can see the tie-in. What I don't see, and I haven't heard from around the world other than the Phoenix area, is these flying serpents.
Mexico has been seeing these creatures for over 30 years now. Mexico has been a hot spot for these flying creatures.
Right.
And now it's like...
Do you have a name for these creatures?
Well, they call them humanoids. Yeah, they call them humanoids. And some, there's one video, there's a real good video on YouTube, and it's called The Flying Witch. And
mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like a witch that's flying over some mountains there. And if you dig deep enough, you can find more Mexican footage of big flying worms, big flying snakes. Like I said, this is not spaceships and green guys from another planet. These are some kind of supernatural creatures that have been with us forever.
Something is stirring them up
where they're now just starting to come out.
This is absolutely yummy, and you've got me almost on the edge of my seat.
All
we do that
and provided by TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. You're in the night zone with it. You're in the night zone with the Calling Knights.
It's always good to keep my producer happy, and if I hit the bells and whistles on time, we get to have a much more easier show, and I'm not scared to go to the parking lot afterwards. Well, welcome back, Jeff. We're glad you could stay with us for the hour tonight. So in your opinion, whatever is stirring these things up, it tends to be brewing more and more. Is that where you are seeing this?
I believe that the more we get closer to 2012, the more and more of these things are coming. Like I said before, I believe that in just watching them, in a year's period, there were more. 1 year was fine. I watched them come and go on certain months of the year, and I tracked them. And this is how the Indians did it too. They knew when these things were going to be here and when they're not going to be here. When you see these light shadows and they're cutting through vortex spiral doors, you know, the archaeologists think that, oh, well, it must be time to plant the corn. Well, that's not it at all. It's not time to plant the corn. It's time to start worshiping these things. It's time for these things to come out of their dormant and let themselves be shown. It has nothing to do with them tracking the seasons. They already know when it's time to plant corn. They don't need somebody else to show them a light and shadow marker. They don't need to go through that type of hassle.
So why do you think that these phenomena follow the seasons? Why do you think that is? What are they coming out for? What is their draw card for those particular seasons?
Well, as you know, when the summer solstice and the winter equinox, when that stuff is going on, the Earth is closer and gets further away from the Earth, or the Sun gets closer to the Earth and then moves further away from the Earth. When this Sun is in perfect alignment with this energy, with these ley lines, with these fault lines, it creates a fusion effect and opens up these doors, and that's the perfect time for these things to absorb the energy from the fault lines. Is when the Sun is in a certain position, is when the globe is in a certain position, when everything is just right, that's when the doors are open for these entities to come out.
Well, we had a couple of months ago, we had Tim McHyde, Bible Prophecies, on with us, and he was trying to explain to me, a layman in Christian theology, exactly what it meant when they talk about revelations and when they talk about the Trinity and they talk about the second coming and how things come before the end, how it builds to a cataclysmic crescendo. And the more I listen, no matter who comes to our table at Terror Chat in the Night Zone, all things tie in. And I find that to be a very concerning issue, that in fact they do tie in. So just take a real deep breath, because I need to catch some seconds here. Hold on.
Warning, this is a restricted area. Warning, this is a restricted area. You are entering the Night Zone.
Oh, Hans hates it when I steal seconds that way. But now you see, he looks at his watch and he knows that we've covered all contractual obligations. And basically, he can just sit back and fly this puppy down into the top of the hour. So, Jeff, some of this stuff fascinates me. There is no way we can get through everything that is on your website in 1 hour. We're just taking just a small segment of what you have to offer on petroglyphsinthesky.com. And I invite everybody to head for Alien Seeker News or the Blog Talk Terror Chat site in the next 20 minutes. There will be a link up there that'll take you to Jeff's site so that you can have a look around yourself. Now, don't think it's going to be an easy site just to cruise in and cruise out. Trust me. I think I ended up at about 15 layers of information that I didn't want to let go because it was so fascinating. So I was multitasking for most of the day yesterday trying to get a handle on who and what Jeff Woolwine is all about and what petroglyphsinthesky.com means. Now, why petroglyphs in the sky, Jeff? What are you trying to tell me? Is this astrology you're trying to tell me?
Well, I was looking for something that would, you know, make the connection with, you know, the ancient holocons, you know, with the rock arts on the mountains and the things in the sky. And basically, that is what is going on here. The symbols that we're finding on the mountains here around the valley is the symbols and strange things that we're seeing in the sky. It matches to a T. And there was no other better way to explain that and just to put it out there, petroglyphs in the sky, you know, because that's basically what it is. These petroglyphs are magic symbols and has the power to invoke these things. I don't know how many times I've done it. That is the secret. You go up there, you acknowledge them, you talk to them, and then you just sit and wait, you know, by the mountain. If you might see one that day. You might see one in the next week or maybe in a few months. But that symbol that you just talked to, you will see it. You will see it. It will come and see you. You see, I can't explain it, but this seems to work. This is how I was able to draw them to my window the way I did.
Now, don't take offense at me asking this, but I'm sure some people out there are asking the same question. Were you taking peyote when this happened, or were you level? You know, were you level?
All the time, yes. You know, and of course, you know, the camera certainly isn't taking anything. So
the camera was capturing all this.
And those
are YouTube available. Am I correct?
Oh yes, sir. Yes, I have close to about 80 videos up there, and some sightings, I filmed roughly around 300 to 400 videos or creatures when I was sitting out there on the mountain, and it's still happening now. Those things seem to follow me. You know, these things found me. I didn't find them. I went into this trying to find out some answers because I'm seeing strange things in the sky, and nobody would believe me. So I just started studying. I spent about anywhere from 12 to 13 years on studying, you know, UFOs. I read about, you know, the ancient biblical scrolls. You know, I got heavy into that and stuff. And it was just along in between all this, I'm seeing things in the sky and no one's believing me. And so I just made it a quest. I made it a hunt. You know, what is going on in the Phoenix skies? And everything led me to that mountain. All the stories that I've read throughout the years has drawn me to that mountain, and that's when I came to the conclusion that everything that we have been reading is everything that's tattooed on the mountains over here in the city of Phoenix. So it is the same story when we find giants.
We also... Yeah. We have petroglyphs here, right in southern Alberta, at a provincial park called Writing on Stone. It's a fascinating history of what these people saw. What concerns me is it's taken us nearly to 2012 to understand what our ancestors have been trying to tell us all along.
Right. You know, some scholars think that the calendar stops at 2012, but in fact it starts over again. This calendar has been used, like, what, three times now? So we're in the fourth world, and we're getting ready to enter the fifth. So it's not the end of this calendar. It's just marking the beginning. It's going to start a whole new world. Life as we know it is for sure going to change.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Jeff, I have to say adieu to you. We've blown through an hour already. It's hard to believe that... we have banged away an hour. It's been a pleasure, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on. Yes, thank you.
We're going to have to do this again. I've got about half a dozen more questions on half a dozen different areas of your website. So let me again advise everybody, go up to petroglyphsinthesky.com. Have a look around. Make your own decisions. And Jeff, will you come back and join us again sometime?
Oh, absolutely. There is so much more to go over. And I'd like to remind your city audience that the UFO Hunters show on the History Channel, I'll be on that season. And I took the crew out there to one of the mountains and showed them the petroglyphs, and they'll be showing some of my sightings on that show on the History Channel. So look out for Jeff Woolwine in the next 2-3 months here.
Absolutely fantastic. Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. God bless you.
And
we'll talk to you again, sir.
Thank you so much.
So that's it. That's all. Another edition of Terror Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box. It's been an absolute blast. We'll talk to you. Take care now.
This has been a Terror Chat, Thinking Outside of the Box production with assistance from Terrorfilm of Politics at yahoogroups.com.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 1,000 years is about knowing.
I happen to be privileged enough to have be in on the fact that we have been visited on this planet. And the UFO phenomenon is real, although it's been covered up by our governments for quite a long time.
You are listening to TuraCast.